What is Tenebrae? This Holy Week, I've been discussing Tenebrae a lot. It's, I think, maybe my favorite part of Holy Week. I like the Holy Saturday Paschal Vigil Mass, but I find something just stunningly and sorrowfully beautiful about the Tenebrae rites. And I was able to first witness one in person 2 years ago at my local Latin Mass parish. And since then, I have somewhat of a great obsession and appreciation for Tenebrae. Tenebrae, in short, is the Matins and Lauds. These are the divine office, the breviary, that are recited by monks, nuns, priests by requirement, and then lay people voluntarily. The first two sections of prayers, which we call hours, are called Matins and Lauds. And Matins traditionally was recited over three nocturnes or three vigils during the night, and Lauds is celebrated just before and at the daybreak, at the sunrise. And in Holy Week, those 3 days, which we call Tenebrae, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, the Matins and the Lauds are anticipated. That means that they're bumped up, or sorry, rather, they're bumped back into the evening before. And what you see is kind of here on the screen is there's this thing called a hearse, and it has 15 candles lit on it. And every time a psalm or a canticle is prayed, they extinguish one of these candles until just one is left. So it gets darker and darker and darker. Now, what is Tenebrae? Tenebrae is Latin. It means darkness. And we read about this in the Vulgate version of St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 44. You can see it here on the screen. And it was almost the sixth hour, and there was darkness, Tenebrae, over all the earth until the ninth hour. So we know when Christ was on the cross, from the sixth hour of daylight, that is noon, 12 p.m., until the ninth hour of daylight, which is 3 p.m., there was Tenebrae. There was darkness over the earth. And so on these three evenings, we come together as a church to listen to and to enter into the darkness of the Lord. That is Tenebrae. Now, what is the history of Tenebrae? Well, it goes back to the 800s, this custom of chanting anticipated the evening before these beautiful prayers. Psalms, scriptures. So the scriptures read are Lamentations by Jeremiah. Lamentations is about the destruction and the abuse and the desolation of Jerusalem in the Old Testament. And as Christians, as Catholics, we believe that Christ is the new temple. He says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it up. So we read Lamentations not just as a lament over the destruction of Jerusalem, but as a lament over the crucifixion and death of Christ on the temple, the body of his temple being abused and destroyed. But then we know it will rise on the third day. And this is why in Tenebrae, as you get to the very last candle at the top of that triangle of that hearse, a server takes that candle down and hides it behind the altar. This signifies the death of Christ and Christ going into the tomb. Now, Christ's soul is still alive. Christ's soul, we believe, descends to the dead, descends into Sheol, the inferno, into hell, and delivers the Old Testament saints, the Old Testament righteous, that is Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, Ruth, King David, the prophet Isaiah, all of them, and brings to them eternal salvation. Because before this time, before Christ dies on the cross at 3 p.m., no human can enter into the presence of God because the payment for sin has not been laid down. And when Christ dies on the cross and he says, consummatum est, it is consummated, it is finished, the veil in the temple rips from top to bottom. And that signifies that humanity can now enter back into God's presence in heaven in the beatific vision. So when we're doing Tenebrae, usually it starts just before evening or after evening. And there's usually a choir that's trained. It's usually very complicated, very ornate, hauntingly beautiful. The church should be dark. I watched three Tenebraes, not all of them, but portions of them last night on YouTube. There were some live streams going on. And St. John Cantius had a beautiful, I mean, the choir was beautiful. The church was dark. Everything, I thought, was just done perfect. It was done so well. Good job to everyone at St. John Cantius last night. But some of the Tenebrae, they have all the lights on. You got all the lights on. You're doing Tenebrae. Tenebrae means darkness. The whole point of it is it's in the darkness. It's joining into the darkness of Christ on the cross. But you have halogen lights and lamps and iPhone lights and all this stuff. And I don't know. I would encourage people, if you're going to do Tenebrae and practice and do the music and do the choir, don't flip the switch on, flip the switch off, and go by candlelight, because it is so, so very beautiful. Now, the reason why you probably haven't seen or heard Tenebrae, if you're one of those people that are like, what's Tenebrae? What's it all about? The reason is because a major change happened in Holy Week, beginning in 1951 on trial, and then officially 1956 and forward. So if you use a 1962 missal or 1962 rubrics, this is going to affect you. Certainly if you're in the Novus Ordo, pretty much Tenebrae, there are places that try to preserve it, especially on Wednesday, Spy Wednesday, but the majority of Novus Ordo parishes, and I know there's probably some of you out there, and thumbs up to that, but the majority of places, it has been forgotten, because the structure of the breviary of Matins and Lauds has been replaced after Vatican II with Office of Readings and Morning Prayer, which just don't fit. They don't map on with the 15 candles, and it just doesn't work, all right? And by the way, these 15 candles that are extinguished, Christians over time have seen these as signifying the apostles and the various people around Christ. As the Jews and the Romans come and he's betrayed with a kiss, each candle goes out until there's only Christ alone. Christ alone is left. And then, of course, he dies and goes into the tomb. Now, like I said, in 1951, 1955, you had some changes by Pope Pius XII for Holy Week. And one of the things that they wanted to do, under the influence of Annibal Bugnini, who was not a good guy, and I think deceived Pius XII, and in some ways even deceived Paul VI, we've learned in retrospect, they said, you know what? The Mass of the Last Supper on Thursday, traditionally it was held in the morning. He goes, Jesus had the Last Supper at night, so let's move that Mass into night. Okay, one problem with that is you had to fast from midnight until you received communion. So now you have to fast from midnight till 7 p.m. on Thursday. That's a long fast with no food. So Pius XII changed the fasting rules from midnight to Eucharist to, in these evening situations, 3 hours before Mass. And this is where we see the Eucharistic fast starting to break down and erode, is in the 1950s, Pius XII. Also, Good Friday, that Mass was said in the morning. And they said, well, we need to move that to like 12, 3 p.m., you know, more time, more in the time where Christ was actually crucified and when he died, maybe even the evening so people can go after work. And so now you also have to have a 3-hour fast. And you can see that if Tenebrae is being traditionally recited at 5 p.m., 6 p.m., maybe 7 p.m., now you have the masses moving into the evenings and sort of squishing Tenebrae out. Same thing for Holy Saturday. If the Holy Saturday was going to be said on the Good Friday night and you have Good Friday liturgy bumping in, this is why Tenebrae disappears for the most part in the 1970s and 80s. And we've seen in the last 10 years, 10, 15 years, sort of a rebirth, a renaissance of Tenebrae. I'm going to show on the screen what Holy Week looked like in 1939 in London at Westminster Cathedral. This is a great little clipping here. And it'll reveal to you the complexity of Holy Week And you'll also see how the time slots are anticipated, that is, pushed forward. The priest had a lot to do on Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday with the vigil. So they did matins and lauds the night before in this ceremonial way with the candles. That's the tenebrae, the darkness. And then the next day, they got after it. So let's look here on one thing I do want to note is that on Tuesday, Holy Tuesday, there was a ceremonial chanting of the Passion according to St. Mark. And on Wednesday, ceremonial chanting at Mass of the Passion according to St. Luke. Of course, traditionally on Palm Sunday, you have the chanting of the Passion to St. Matthew, and Good Friday, that of St. John. So what's great about Holy Week in the traditional way is you did Matthew on Palm Sunday, Mark on Holy Tuesday, Luke on Spy Wednesday, and then on Good Friday, you did John's Passion. So if you went that week, you got all four Gospels' Passion. Now, if you look at Wednesday, you can see there that at 5:30 p.m., see if I'll make it just a touch bigger. No, I can't make it bigger. 5:30 p.m., you see the tenebrae. All right, and then on Maundy Thursday, notice from 6:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. is Holy Communion every half hour. What's that all about? Well, you had to make your Easter Communion. And it was traditional to make your Easter Communion either on Maundy Thursday or Easter. Of course, it can be done before or after canonically, but it was very traditional to receive your Holy Communion on Maundy Thursday. Why? Because Maundy Thursday is the day in which Christ instituted the Holy Eucharist. So people were encouraged to come and receive communion. So many people were coming to make their Easter Communion that from 6:30 to 8:30 a.m., and remember, you had a fast from midnight. Not a one-hour fast, not a three-hour fast. You didn't eat food or drink water from midnight until you received the Eucharist. Not even water. That's how strict our forebears were. So people would come and there'd be distribution of Holy Communion every 30 minutes. And people were able to fast and receive Holy Communion and make a Thanksgiving. And if they had to, go to work. At 8:45 a.m., you have Noon. This is led by the Archbishop Cardinal. And then at 9, they begin the Chrism Mass. This is the Mass of Maundy Thursday and the consecration of the three oils. Sacred Chrism, oil of the catechumens, and the, which is also the oil of the sick, and then, sorry. I messed that up. Sacred Chrism, scratch that. The three oils. Sacred Chrism, oil of the catechumens, and oil of the sick. All of them were consecrated. And in the old rite, when they consecrated, they blessed the oil of the catechumens and the oil of the sick, but they consecrated the Sacred Chrism. And the clergy would genuflect three times in front of the Sacred Chrism. And I believe they would say, in Latin, Hail Sacred Chrism. Why do they genuflect three times? Because they believed through the consecration that the Holy Spirit was so associated with the Sacred Chrism that they would genuflect in front of the Sacred Chrism. It's amazing. It's amazing. Then you'll see on Maundy Thursday that tenebrae is at 5:30 p.m. once again. So it would be ending once it's dark. On Good Friday, you have Mass of the Pre-Sanctified at what time? 10:30 a.m., so very early. And of course, in the pre-55, the lay people would not receive communion on this day. Only the priest received the host. The lay people made their communion by what's called the creeping to the cross or adoration of the cross. They would come up humbly and kiss the feet of Christ on the crucifix at the Mass of the Pre-Sanctified. Then it was very customary to do at 3 o'clock when Christ died, Stations of the Cross, and then at 5:30 p.m., the final tenebrae, which would be tenebrae for Saturday morning, but again, anticipated Friday evening. Also, there'd be another Stations of the Cross at 8:15 for those probably who were working. Now, on Holy Saturday, you can see that there's the blessing of the fire, the paschal candle, and the font, all by the bishop. At what time? 9 a.m. It too is anticipated or pushed up into the day. In antiquity, this would have been done sometime after 3 p.m. or after 6 p.m. at sundown. Over the centuries, actually by around the 1100s, 1200s, it was already pushed into the morning on Saturday. Then the vigil mass of Holy Saturday, the Paschal Vigil, begins at 11 a.m. Saturday morning. It finishes afternoon, and this is why before the 1950s and before Vatican II, Lent ended at noon Holy Saturday. 12 p.m. Holy Saturday was about when the High Mass of the Paschal Vigil ended, and from that point on, you were in Easter. It's not how we think about it in 2021 right now, but that's how it was done. And then, that evening, you didn't have Tenebrae. You had something even more glorious. You had the Paschal Matins and Lauds. And this sort of brought in the joy and the celebration and the jubilation of Easter. And then, on Sunday morning, would begin all the Masses of Easter. So that's what's going on. So you can see how all this worked before Vatican II, before the PN Reform of 1951 and 1955. And part of the difficulty for our time is people want to do the older pre-1955 Holy Week, and they want to do Maundy Thursday in the evening, and they want to do Good Friday in the afternoon, and they want to do Holy Saturday in the evening. And then how do you fit Tenebrae into those slots? Right? That's the difficult part. So I think what many parishes have done is they do Maundy Thursday a little bit, or they do Spy Wednesday, no problem there. Maundy Thursday a little bit earlier, maybe started at 5:36, and then they have their Tenebrae more at like 8:30. And then on Good Friday, you have your pre-sanctified Mass at noon, and then you can easily have your Tenebrae on Friday night. So it all kind of works out, and people have kind of figured out how to do it. So that's Tenebrae. I would encourage you, if you can this year, to attend one. In some places, churches will offer Tenebrae. They won't want to anticipate it the night before. They'll do it in the morning, 8 a.m., 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 9 a.m. Problem with that is you lose your darkness. You lose the Tenebrae, the darkness. If you're extinguishing candles but it's daylight outside, it's kind of, you know, I don't want to say spookiness, but the sort of haunting music with the darkness, and as each candle goes out, it gets darker and darker and darker. You sort of feel like you're entering in the darkness and the passion of Christ. So I really, really, really enjoy it. It's the kind of thing where you go into the church, and they usually have little booklets or pamphlets. You kind of follow along in the light you can see, and you enter into it. My wife Joy took our teens last night, and she said it was just wonderful. She loved it. Really good experience. So check out a Tenebrae and encourage it. If it's not at your parish, encourage getting it started. It's a lot of work on the music. The people who dedicate the music to this, we thank you. We salute you. So thanks for watching, everyone. Please get deeper into your Catholic faith. Learn our traditions. Learn our customs. Learn our rituals. Pass them on to your children and to your grandchildren and to your friends. Pray the rosary every single day. Read the Bible every single day. Find a traditional Latin Mass. Enter into these old rites. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ says you're the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. God bless and Godspeed. A blessed Holy Week to you and a happy Easter.